Now we're going to look at the readings for this 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the theme is healing, which is beautiful. Huh? You see, healing is a prophecy. It's saying, this is the way I'm going to treat you forever. I'm going to heal your body so that you live physically as well as spiritually for eternity. So I'm going to prophesy that by healing somebody's that are injured or hurt or sick in some way. Now this one particularly, when St. Mark comes to describe the condition of the man in the gospel, the man who was deaf and couldn't speak correctly, he purposely uses a word which is almost unique to one passage in Isaiah. And that's the passage we have for the first reading. We're going to start. It's the first reading of Isaiah 35, 4 to 7. This is a part of Isaiah where there's promise of restoration. It's still in the first part of Isaiah. But, you know, there's three parts. And so this is in the first part. They're written at different dates. And then edited by using keywords from one passage to another so that it's all tied together in one huge, beautiful 66-chapter proclamation. So there are inspired editors as well as inspired authors. And it's a marvel to read. One of these days I might go through all of Isaiah. Would be wonderful to do. First, though, we got to get on with what we need right now. It says, say to the fearful of heart, be strong and don't fear. Behold, your God is coming with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. This is spoken to the exiles, probably, or to those who are being threatened with exile. And so now it's expressed, what is the Lord going to do? Then the eyes of the blind shall see, and the ears of the deaf be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a stag, and the mute tongue sing for joy. That's the line that we're going to see in that expression in the gospel. For waters will burst forth in the wilderness, in the desert, and streams in the Arava, which is that flat part around the Dead Sea, south of Jerusalem. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The abode where jackals crouch will be a marsh for the reed and the papyrus. There's going to be a water all over the place. Now, that's quite a prophecy if you've ever lived in any kind of desert land, huh? Where it says here, you see, there'll be streams in the desert and in the Arava, which is that flat desert part, as I mentioned, south of Jerusalem. This is a prophecy of abundance, of restoration, of healing of the people and of the land. Now, why were they sick? Why was the land sick? Sin. Does every sick person sick because they sinned? No. But the world of sin is all around us. And it weakens us. And then our own sin, too. I mean, if I get addicted to alcohol, I'm going to get a bad kidney and liver. And it's no surprise. If I really repent and give up alcohol and go to the Lord, He can heal me. And He will, if that's best for me. You see, salvation extends to the whole body person. You see, that's why healing is a prophecy. It's saying, this is a tiny glimpse of what I'm going to do for you forever. And that's why there's a phrase our Lord uses a lot, your faith has saved you, okay? Epistis su sesokense. Here's the thing, though. That word in there, sozin, means to save and to heal and to restore. When the emperor Augustus is called the sotir to kosmu, I think that's called sotir for sure, the savior of the world. Well, what did he do? He adjusted the GMP. He got the roads going well. He restored the empire. When Jesus said savior, it's deeper, longer, forever. You will be who you are, beautiful, and yourself with your body forever. That's salvation. So all the other healings are promises of that. See what I can do, he says. You see that crippled man over there? Go put your hand on him and pray. And he starts to walk. That is a prophecy for him and for you of my plans for you forever. And so, that's why, like the great, like St. Thomas, he said, there's lots of prophecies in Isaiah that aren't fully fulfilled yet. Because we're waiting for the full transformation. There's a wonderful text, I've used it before, but it helps here. It's in Hebrews 10:1. The law, having a skia, a sketch or a shadow of the good things to come, but not the very icon, you see, of the realities. So we have the sketch, the icon, and the realities. Or shadow, this word here, skia. Icon, no, icon. So the old covenant was the sketch of the good things to come. The New Testament is the icon of them, which means what? They're there. They're present. The Eucharist, Jesus Christ, is there. But not in the way of existing that's proper to him, which is to have his glorious radiant body itself surrounded by angels and saints, showing the world how much he loves us with his wounds. See, that's the normal state. But he hides himself in bread and wine. So he's there. And so we live, and the scriptures are icon. He hides himself here too and speaks to us. So we live in the world of icon. We don't live in the world of shadow or sketch. That has been moved forward and fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't live in the pragma, the very reality of the good things to come. That's heaven. And so it's prophecy. And our whole life is prophecy. I think I've quoted this before. Saint Catherine of Siena used to say when she received the Eucharist, "Thank you, Lord, but how long do we have to keep this up in symbol? I want to see you. I want to be with you. I want to hold your hand," which is very legitimate, because that's what the Lord wants too. So, this is a promise, you see. The burning sands will become pools. If you've ever lived in a desert land, you know what this means. The sand gets hot. Your body dries out. We would go out into the desert, even just for, you know, an hour or two, maybe close. We were in Sinai, too, when I lived over there, and I was teaching at the École Biblique. But we'd tell the students, even if we're going out for an hour, bring your water bottle. You have no idea. When you get out of that hot, dry climate, it'll just pull all the moisture right out of you. You see? And so to say, you know those places where you've got to bring a water bottle? There's going to be streams there. If you're thirsty, you can drink from the stream. If you're a desert dweller, you understand the force of that prophecy. You see? And I'm going to heal your bodies. You see? The eyes of the blind will see. The ears of the deaf will be open. The lame shall leap like a stag, and the mute tongue, that's the one, sing for joy, you see. And then the waters will burst forth in the desert. That's the promise, you see. So the psalm is celebrating that. And it starts off, you see. The maker of heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them. He keeps faith forever. secures justice for the oppressed, gives bread to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up the who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the resident alien. You know, in that part of the world, even now, but before, let's say I'm an, I don't know, what should I be? I'll be a Syrian. And I decide I want to go live in Israel. I'm a stranger. I have no rights. I have no relatives. Remember, there's no police. The people who are safe are the people who live in a house with a lot of brothers. Because if anybody touches me, all my brothers are going to go beat him up. The king is the one you can appeal to. And the king was supposed to do that. But you see, it's saying here, you see, the Lord gives justice for the oppressed. He gives bread to the hungry. He sets prisoners free. Now the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord, that's Adonai, 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 raises up those who are bowed down. Adonai loves the righteous. Adonai protects this resident alien. You start mistreating someone because he doesn't have his brothers and uncles around him, you'll hear from me. That's what God says. The Ger. See? And another psalmist says, Lord, before you were all Gedim. This isn't our land, it's yours. Okay. It comes to the aid of the orphan and the widow. Why? Because those are the three who have no protection. I remember when there was this kind of a flap over there in a family of her class, family I'm very close to. There's seven brothers in that family. And the one daughter, and she married, and then the guy left her. Well, there was this meeting of the clan up in Shepherdam, which was the family home, north of Haifa. 120 men in that house. They're trying to figure out, let's find this guy and kill him. Good Christians, of course. And one fellow, great Christian man, Kamil Shahadi, one of the Shahadi clan, said there'll be no killing. You find him, you can beat him up if you want, but you cannot kill him. That's wrong. Well, what do you know? Then the daughter was pregnant, their sister. She had a boy. Everything's okay. See? Then he comes back. Everything's fine. But you see, he had to pay attention when they could gather 200 males to try to talk sense into him. And some of them were ready to kill him. Good to heal Camille to stop that, you see? So the Lord shall reign forever, your God, Zion, through all generations. Alleluia. So you see how these the reading and the psalm are talking about God as healer of broken hearts. You know, heal of loneliness, heal of sick bodies, heal of sick minds. You know, heal of loneliness. The Lord heals. You see? And that's what's being said there. So when Jesus was in his ministry, you see, he was prophesying. What I'm doing now is just a tiny shadow of what I will do for you for all eternity, when your body will be radiant and glory and filled with divine life forever. I'll just give you a touch of that now. And everybody watching can get the idea. And so, that's the promise of healing.